This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. It's my pleasure to have here on BPN Radio today, Brad Huddleston. And Brad has an important message to give, and it's going to be like no other interview that I've ever had, I'm sure. But Brad and his wife, Beth, live in the beautiful Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. Brad is a revivalist, evangelist. He owns Brad Huddleston Productions, a full-service multimedia production company specializing in content creation for radio, television, the corporate and church environment, and the web. And with degrees in computer science and Bible, Brad ministers around the world in churches and public and private schools, retreats, camps, conferences, and hosts multimedia camps at various schools in Australia. He's also a frequent guest on television radio programs, including Vision Radio across Australia. And we're just so delighted to have Brad on today. He recently spoke in a church that I formerly led and pastored in Oklahoma City, Destiny Christian Center, and a school that I started over 30 years ago, Destiny Christian School. And they were so impressed with what he had to say that I thought, well, I'd really like to get him on today. So it's really powerful. You'll want to stay tuned. And with an increase of technology, adding to the amount of stress that we'll put on our brains, large amounts of stress we put on our brains is due to an overload of multitasking, Brad says. And so, Brad, it's good to have you on BPN. Welcome today.
Well, Dale, thank you so much. It's a real honor to be with you and to have been out in Oklahoma at your former church and school there. They really blessed me. You know, a lot of times I walk away from various places, as you would, and you feel drained. But, boy, I walked away from there being very energized. So I had a tremendous experience out there.
Oh, that's great. They're a great group of people. I'm still thankful that I get to be in relationship. Even though I've been gone for over 30 years, I still get to be in relationship with the church and the school. And so it's good to have you on today. I know there's some things that you've written about, you're talking about. And, of course, one of the things that really caught my attention is what do you mean about the dark side of technology? What is happening?
Well, Dale, several years ago, we were approached, or I was approached, by the youth leadership of our home church here in Virginia. And like most churches, it's a good church, not a perfect church, but a Bible-based church. Believe in holiness. And the youth pastor came, and she made me aware that a lot of the kids were on MySpace. And at that time, that was the top social media site that preceded Facebook in popularity. And we found about half of our youth group under the cover of darkness doing some pretty vile and sinful things at night while their parents were sleeping. Back in those days, they didn't have a name for it, but now we call it sexting. Of course, they were mimicking pornography and things like that. And so I was shocked, and because of my degree in computer science and being a bit tech savvy, they asked if I would help uncover some of this. And to my pleasant surprise, the pastor asked me if I would preach on it on a Sunday morning. And as you well know, in this country, normally Sunday mornings are reserved for the positive, 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 and you don't get into that sort of thing. But our pastor trusted in the Lord to build the church, and so I did a sermon. And being affiliated in media, I was asked by a regional television network here in the Shenandoah Valley to produce and host a one-hour television show on it. And when I did that, of course, my schedule filled up, and the topics went from your normal revival messages to that topic, and it grew. And so I ended up writing a book called The Dark Side of Technology. So we started off uncovering all of that darkness that was going on at night, kids on the internet and things like that. So it's progressed from there into what we call digital neuroscience now.
Digital?
Neuroscience.
Neuroscience.
What has happened, Dr. Gentry, over the years, there have been a lot of unintended consequences as the tsunami of technology has swept into the homes and as schools around the world have begun to incorporate technology. We've seen a dramatic rise in a lot of emotional problems, a lot of ADD and ADHD, a lot of numbing of the brain, which is a condition called anhedonia. And I speak at a lot of education conferences and work in a lot of schools, and those problems are now being traced back to screen time, too much screen time. Particularly the younger the children look at the screens, the more problems that they end up having. Mm-hmm. Some surprising findings like anger, severe video game addiction and things like that. And the really bottom line, the second book that I wrote in this series is called Digital Cocaine. And that is because when you look at the fMRI brain scans of cocaine addicts and you look at the fMRI brain scans of digital addicts, their brain scans are identical. It turns out that addiction is addiction, and the hook in this addiction is a chemical called dopamine that gets released, whether you're doing cocaine or heroin or alcohol, marijuana, or if you're looking at screens, playing video games, particularly pornography, brain stimulation is the actual trigger, and so all of this dopamine gets released, and it gets the hooks of literal chemical physical dependence in you. And so in Asia, for example, I was very privileged to keynote in South Korea at Global Youth Forum. South Korea released all this technology a bit earlier than most places around the world. It's the most wired nation on the planet. As a result of the supersaturation there, they have 200 digital detox rehabilitation centers scattered across their small country.
Amazing.
And it's unbelievable. And China has 300. So there's this emerging field that study is starting to happen in the brains of digital addicts. Not a lot of people want to talk about it because it goes against the grain of what has become part of culture now.
Uh-huh.
My main concern is you cannot separate your spirit from your brain. And whenever you damage one or you get addicted to one, you're going to affect your spirit. Uh-huh. And so all over the world, we have young people, we have older people. The average age of a video gamer in the U.S. is 31. You have a whole group of people who go to church, go to youth group, go to young adult group, and they attend Christian schools, but the spirit of the world, as the Apostle Paul said, is coming right through those screens under these Christian homes. And so the world is discipling the last two generations, not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so God has asked me to write about this from both a neurological point of view, a chemical point of view. And, of course, I have a degree in Bible, and as you know, I'm most passionate about the Lord. So mm-hmm. we deal with it on both of those levels.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you know, I guess I'm stunned when you use you talk about words like digital cocaine. I mean, I've never heard of that, digital cocaine. But that's what's happening to our youth, particularly. And I guess maybe even in older people. And you're saying all of this is a result of too much screen activity, and that includes pornography, video games, and on social media sites. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. When you look at the brain scans, the neuroscientists have now scanned the brains thoroughly of those who get addicted to social media, for example. I would say, Dale, in the order of addiction, number one would be pornography. The mm-hmm. latest research shows that not only do you get the cocaine effect with a tremendous amount of release of cocaine, which would be a stimulation to the brain, but with pornography, there's an added dilemma, and that is it also has a heroin effect. So it's as though you have mixed cocaine and heroin together, and that is the type of dependency that forms in the brain of the pornography addicts. And then right on the heels of pornography would be video game addiction, followed closely by social media addiction. Now, mm-hmm. with a computer science degree, I'm certainly not anti-technology. You and I are using some pretty cool technology here to do this interview.
Yeah.
There is a good side to it. The uh-huh. problem is, unregulated, it will get the hooks into you. So we're talking about a literal chemical addiction, and it's based on brain scans. It's based on being able to measure these chemicals in the system. And so, yes, screen time, what happens is the screens are not evil in and of themselves. What they do is they stimulate the brain just like a drug.
Uh-huh.
And so the chemical that gets released that I've mentioned is this neurotransmitter. It's the feel-good neurotransmitter, dopamine. It just you get dopamine whenever you do anything pleasurable. The amount is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that the screens, especially video games, things that have a lot of inactivity, are generating lots and lots of dopamine. One counselor and therapist trying to quantify this said that just 2 hours of playing a video game is the equivalent of snorting one line of cocaine in the amount of dopamine that gets released.
Wow.
So we're talking about now integrating video games in schools as an education modality. They call it edutainment, and using education video games. And a bit of the misnomer would be people think that if their kid is playing an education game, it's not going to harm the brain. Mm-hmm. And while, sure, they may learn, the trade-off is it is still releasing large amounts of dopamine. So we've gotten out of balance with a lot of this. And again, spiritually, the spirit of the world, I mean, most of these kids, Dr. Gentry, if you were to test these kids in Christian schools and in, you know, Christian homes, they would be able to tell you far more about Lady Gaga and all the pop culture than they would about any of the characters of the scripture. And
yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, that is what God is concerned about most.
Yeah. Well, That is amazing. So dopamine sets in if we love to fish and we go fishing, or if we love to hike, we go hiking. And that is dopamine is released when we do those things also, right? But not to the extent that pornography, video games, and all that has on us, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. You get dopamine even when you do your homework.
Uh-huh.
And the problem is, think of it this way. When a child sits down to do their math homework, history, English homework, dopamine gets released because you need dopamine to learn. Dopamine is not a bad thing. Again, it has to do with the quantity. The problem is their little brains are used to a lot of dopamine through playing Candy Crush and Angry Birds and various first-person shooter games and being on social media. Those activities generate lots of dopamine.
Uh-huh.
So any activity that they do that doesn't release those large amount of that large quantity of dopamine, they're going to find those things very boring. And so you're going to find kids switching all the time. It's called multitasking in a lot of circles, but the neuroscientists are calling it switch-tasking. As it turns out, the brain cannot physically multitask. We can just switch tasks so rapidly, it'll end up giving us the illusion that we can multitask, but we can't. And that is a very unnatural act to the brain. I mean, in my grandparents' generation, they monotasked. They did one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then with all the release of the technology, we end up switching from here to there to here to there. And that has been linked with chemical changes to the brain such that people are getting clinically depressed. And that was one of the surprising things to me when they started to monitor and study this.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't think that that would cause depression, but it's because it's an artificial environment to the brain. And it's stress. That's really what it boils down to. So you end up with a bunch of depression. You end up with a lot of anxiety disorders like FOMO, which is an acronym that stands for a fear of missing out. That's why people's heads stay in their screen all the time. They literally have an anxiety when they lift their heads thinking that they're going to be missing out on something, particularly conversations that are going on in social media. And then there's nomophobia. About 70% or more of the general population has a terror of losing their phone, battery going down, or getting out of cell coverage, or losing it, because they feel disconnected. And so these are very real, measurable anxiety disorders. And in Christian circles, you and I would know it as idolatry, when you just cannot do without it.
Wow.
So there's this whole field that has opened up. And the reason why you probably haven't heard too much of it here, and the reason why I spend so much time overseas, is because here in America and in Australia, the diagnostic and statistical manual of mental disorders, or DSM-5, is what doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists use to diagnose. And in the Western world, digital addiction is just not recognized. There's a little phrase in the most recent edition that says that digital addiction is worthy of further study. But in Asia and other parts of the world where they have all these clinics and they have neuroscientists, the governments have put lots of money into studying this issue, it is fully recognized as a literal addiction, and that's why they have so many clinics. So a lot of the research comes out of MIT and Stanford here in America, but the bulk of it that we're really learning is coming from the countries that are very open to treating it. And so I spend a lot of time overseas.
Well, I can understand that, Brad. Talking with Brad Huddleston here on BPN Radio. And I just have to say that I have, I'm pretty well read, and I try to monitor things that are going on. But this is new to me, the dark side of technology. I've not heard about digital cocaine. Probably there's a lot of young people listening and a lot of parents are listening today. They've not heard of that. And so you are saying that because I know that pornography is so rapidly growing in America, you're saying that it's like cocaine and heroin. It's a mixture of cocaine and heroin. It's just as addictive. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right, and it's chemical. And not only, you know, for those of us who are believers and our eyes have been opened to spiritual things, we know the deep, deep demonic bondages, too, that those things create.
Absolutely.
But just pure secular medical science shows that you can see these things. We have some incredible technology these days with the MRIs or the fMRIs that where you can really look and stuff deep inside of the brain and actually see what's literally going on.
Mm-hmm.
So you have with pornography, you not only have the high, the dopamine, because it's a stimulant, but you have the opiate effect, the real euphoric effect. And so it's spun off into all of these other problems like the Coolidge effect, where you have a whole movement around the world, for example, of early 20-somethings, and this is, it almost looks like a Christian movement, but it's not. It's totally secular. A whole bunch of these young adults getting off of porn because they've burned themselves out and they can no longer function sexually. And of course, we're in the middle, as you know, of a continued sexual revolution on steroids from the 60s because mm-hmm. of porn. It's really been ramped up. But what mm-hmm. ends up happening, these young adults cannot function because of what's happening with porn. They burn themselves out and then they cannot maintain a relationship with one person. And, you know, deep inside of all of us, we really want to remain committed to one person. I mean, after a while, all of that loses its flair, but they can't function anymore. And so there's another chemical that they have found called Delta False B that you can also see in the brain, and it makes you binge. And so these guys want to get off of porn, get rid of this Delta False B so that they can function again to be able to have a relationship with one person. So it's a mess out there. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been studying and going around at men's conferences and various things talking about. The good news is, Dale, Jesus still heals.
Yeah.
He still forgives. He still delivers.
Yeah.
And when we come under the disciplining hand of God in due season, he will just lift us up if we will repent, which means to turn around, change the way we think, and walk back toward him. He's standing there with his arms wide open. So none of this is beyond hope, but it is very bad out there. But Jesus, at the end of the day, is still the Prince of Peace. He's still the answer.
Well, I believe that. And as you go and speak to these young people, are they responding? How are they responding?
Well, I have much, much fear and trepidation. In fact, when I wrote The Dark Side of Technology, I informed the Lord. I don't know if you've ever done this. It's a pretty silly thing to do, but I tried to inform God on a few marketing things and how things work here in America. But he basically told me to let him worry about that. But I was shocked because I thought, honestly, as much as I speak at the youth conferences and to adults and on Sunday mornings, I thought I was going to burn every bridge I had built because this technology has become so much part of culture.
Mm-hmm.
But God just burned these books in me. And you know what it's like, Dale. You
mm-hmm.
just can't get away from it when he's burning something in you. So
right.
When I took off to, I think it was really, first tour that I did was here in the Shenandoah Valley in Ascot, Australia. I was absolutely shocked at how well it was received. I spent a lot of time in Africa. Next week I'll be in South Africa. And the demand to go to schools, the demand to go to conferences, youth places, these kids are hungry, and it absolutely has to be the Lord stirring in revival because, you know, I've got a message here that goes against the grain, but it is one of repentance at the end of the day.
Right.
So God has granted the favor. It's nothing I'm doing. In fact, in the natural, I informed God that it was a bad idea, but God in his sovereignty and in his grace said, hey, I'm behind this, so I'm on our digital rescue mission here, so work with me on this. And so I'm just doing my very best, as you are, to work with God and cooperate with Him to see revival come.
Yeah. Well, we certainly have this in common, that we want to see people's lives changed and transformed, and both of us are revivalists. I believe that is what is going to save this nation, is revival, personal revival, church revival, city revival, so forth and so on. And so what do you say to these young people that, even Christian young people, they're already addicted to porn, they're addicted to Facebook, they're addicted to gaming, and what are you saying out to, they have video game addiction, how are you saying they get free? What do they do? What is your response?
Yes, the first thing I do, we have intercessors. God has blessed us with a tremendous group of people, both in Australia and here in America, that we pray and ask for God's anointing, because at the end of the day, it's the anointing that's going to break that yoke. It's nothing I can say without His anointing. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. But when I'm actually in front of them, what I actually say is this. I lay out the brain science, and I have found with this generation, you know, I'm not their parent. I'm kind of like their crazy uncle. Mm-hmm. And so they will actually listen to me. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to go do what I say, but they'll actually listen to me. And many times they will sit there and they'll start to weep, especially when I talk about cutting and self-harm. Uh-huh. Yeah, we've had an absolute explosion, an epidemic of that in the last 3.5 years. And so I'll talk about the brain component behind that. I'll talk about the brain component. They respond to the science, and then I'll transition into the spiritual, and I will simply tell them, I'll say something like this: the principal has given me his or her office today. You just come visit me. And privately, you're not going to get in trouble. You can tell me anything you want. They will line up. I mean, sometimes I can't see them all. Wow. And they'll come in and they'll just blurt it out. They'll weep. The guys will confess porn addiction, video game addiction. Now, look, some resist it. You know, people still, it's depending on what stage of sin that they're in, if they haven't hit rock bottom, some resist it. But for the most part, they'll line up and they'll pull up their sleeves and their pants legs. They'll show me where they've been cutting themselves. All up, and what I simply do, I let them talk. I just let them talk, and I let them know we love them and care for them. And then I present to them the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, introduce the Prince of Peace to them. And then if it's a really bad situation, I've organized ahead of time to get them counseling if we need to see the nurse or whoever a school has in place to do some follow-up. I always make sure we do that. But at the end of the day, it's repentance. I explained to them about turning around, changing the way they think, putting accountability in place, getting rid of the technology out of their bedrooms. You just get to the heart of the problem, and you make Jesus Lord. And so then my prayer, as we pray over them and as I get the intercessors, is that God would deposit something in them that would cause something so hunger, such a deep hunger for God in them, that technology would just start to fade into the background. I'm not saying that technology doesn't have a place in our lives. I just think, like anything else, it has to fade into the background, and the hunger for God has to come to the front. And you see it everywhere you go. You can't go into restaurants and see, you know, entire families sitting there from the youngest to the oldest on their devices, not even talking to each other.
Right.
So we deal with that age-old desire that no matter how hard you try to get fellowship from social media, nothing is going to take the place of looking at somebody in the eye, talking to them, having a good cry when you need to, and most importantly, being very, very intimate with the Lord. And all of these substitutes with Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Kick Messenger, all that has simply not worked. And so I'm in a good place where a lot of these kids have gone down that path, and they're simply open now because they've still come up empty. It's just human nature. The difference is technology has allowed the sin that's always been present on this planet to be in bedrooms, to be with the youngest of the young. And so the message is the same. It boils down to the gospel, which is good news, and then preaching it under the power of God, which is something the American church, as you well know, has lost, and starting to pray again. So that's how I'm handling it, and that's what I'm saying. I'm just telling the age-old story, but loving the daylights out of them, and many respond.
Well, I know that, Brad, that you are on the, you're on the cutting edge of some things that that definitely are occurring in America and that I'm not hearing talked about. I just want to break in and say you're listening to BPN Radio. This is your 24-hour internet prayer station. a member of the Breakout Prayer Network at this time or any time as we pray for revivals in America and other spiritual awakening. And I'm just honored to have Brad Huddleston on with me today. And he's a revivalist, evangelist, owns Brad Huddleston Production, and is the author of materials, including The Dark Side of Technology. And I have, I have three or four of the questions I want to ask you. How do people contact you, Brad?
Well, for the most part, if they hear an interview like this or see something on television or read something, they just simply go to my website, which is myname.com, bradhuddleston.com, and all of the information is there. And because I do a lot of secular work, I speak and I work with police in Australia and do various things, I also have a secular website, and that is darksideoftechnology.com. Mm. But this audience, just bradhuddleston.com, and all the contact information is right there.
Wow. Well, this is a major problem. So in layman's terms, the dopamine, most of the dopamine comes through pornography, and then second of all, it comes through video games.
Right.
And then we have cell phones, we have
social media.
Facebook, social media.
Yeah. That's
and
right.
all of those are addicting, and that's what you're saying.
Physically, chemically addicting. It's not metaphorical. It is measurable, and it is on par with cocaine. That's why my latest book is called Digital Cocaine. And I really want to say, too, the subtitle is called A Journey Toward Eye Balance, because, again, I'm not against technology. I'm against sin.
Uh-huh.
And not keeping Jesus as the Lord. And so we just need to balance all of this out. Because, like yourself, I have a studio here. We can make things and it can be around the world instantly. It's mm-hmm. a great time we live in.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality, Dale, the absolute reality is mm-hmm. far more churched people look at pornography than they do listen to us in our Christian media online.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to reverse that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just really it's really damaged relationships. You sit down and try to talk to someone, and suddenly they have their phone on their phone, and they're reading messages, or they're even talking to someone. I'll never forget when cell phones really first started coming out. There was a woman that was in my office, and we were talking about a funeral service for her husband. And I did not know him very well, but she was sitting in my office, and I felt like that I needed to take a couple of calls. And she said to me, "I've been sitting here visiting with you, and you've allowed your cell phone to interrupt our conversation two or three times." And it was like the Holy Ghost was speaking to me. It was like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And I said, "Would you please forgive me? I understand what you're saying." And from that time forward, I realized how cell phones and other media is interfering with our normal relationships, and our relationships are not true relationships. And so I get what you're saying, and it's very evident as you talk, Brad, that people are not only addicted to, we would say to a person, "Well, you're addicted to pornography. That's a terrible thing," and they may agree with you on that. But when you talk about a video game addiction, or you say to someone, "You're addicted to Instagram. You're addicted to Periscope," and that seems to be the new one where you actually can just follow people wherever they go, or you're addicted to Facebook. And people would get into a denial on that, wouldn't they? I mean, would have a hard time receiving that they are, it's like cocaine, or it's going to affect their brain. That would be a challenge to some people's thinking, right?
It is. And the reason, Dale, is because it's culturally acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
The schools promote it. The pop stars promote it. Public service announcements say things like, "Oh, install filtering software," as though that's the cure. So it's culturally acceptable and encouraged. Now, at one time, smoking was as well. One of the things that I opened my presentations with is a poster from the 1940s it says more doctors smoke Camel cigarettes than any other cigarette. Mm-hmm. And then I show a television commercial that ran at the same time of doctors mm-hmm. smoking into the camera saying that this is what we do to relax. Mm-hmm. There was a time when that was socially and culturally acceptable, and people had a very hard time believing that there was anything harmful about it because doctors were doing it. Mm-hmm. Of course, we know better mm-hmm. now. And so as time goes along and as the technology, the kind of medical technology that can expose this begins to infiltrate, you know, you're going to see a lot more people accepting of it. There's not hardly a day that goes by that I don't get requests for a digital rehab center referral, which mm-hmm. is easy to do in Asia, nearly impossible here in America. So mm-hmm. there is denial. It does seem like it's crazy. But here's why I'm so busy in the schools, Dale. Wherever there have been schools that have implemented technology, school systems, as you know, are putting tablets and laptops in the hands of children. They call these one-to-one laptop programs. Mm-hmm. First 2 years, they won't touch somebody like me. But you give it a year and a half, and all the grades go down. Mm-hmm. Wow. And then they bring me in to consult to try to figure out what's going on. And the reason the grades are going down is very multifactorial. Most of those tablets get used for video gaming and porn and very little homework. And then you've got all the brain problems from neuroscience that I've talked about with the multitasking or switch tasking. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the parents are pulling their hair out. And, you know, it's also sad, too. We have the first two generations now that are in school whose parents are equally addicted to technology as their children. Yeah. And so there's actually been a study by a lady out of Harvard to study the brains of adolescents whose parents are addicted and the time that the parents will not give to the kids because they're on Candy Crush and Pinterest and Facebook and mm-hmm. what the resentment that it's causing in the brains of these precious little children. It's almost mm-hmm. like an orphan effect. Mm-hmm. And so we've got this mess out there, but the schools, when they've, you know, have handed out the tablets in an education setting, the grades have gone down. And so those are some of the education problems. And I've been speaking for the National Assemblies of God Education Wing and Oral Roberts University's mm-hmm. Education Wing. They teamed up this year. And I was recently in Dallas and North Carolina and Oklahoma. That's how I ended up in Oklahoma, by the way, uh-huh. meeting some of your folks there. Uh-huh. I was speaking at those education conferences. The schools have a lot of fear and trepidation of implementing technology, and so they're bringing me in to, you know, to talk about what's gone wrong, and then some of the schools are trying to backtrack. And uh-huh. so there's some good things on the horizon, too. I don't want to make it all sound bad. There are right. some very honest people who are willing to go against the grain for the benefit of the children. And but it is a small group of people. My prayer is that it'll grow. And we're, again, the bottom line is spiritual. We're just seeing a whole generation of kids who are being raised by the phone. And I can promise you it's not Christian content coming through those screens. It is not at all. It's very sinful. Yeah. And they not, as kids do, I did the same thing. I'm ashamed of it. But when I got to church and I was sinning, I knew how to play the part. Mm-hmm. I knew how to pull the wool over people's eyes. Mm-hmm. You just have a lot more of it now, and God still loves these heathen children, as I call them.
Yeah,
and we love them, and we're on a digital rescue mission. And you know, I'm looking at. I'll be back in South Africa. I was on a television show there that really catapulted a lot of what I do there, and they did a show called Digital Fix. And so now we're working on one. They're working on one called Digital Rehab, and that'll probably be the title of my next book. So Bill, thanks to people like you who are willing to allow me to come in and talk about it. This is how the word is getting out here in America. And it's out in other countries pretty well, but here it's been slower to catch on. And so yeah. I am so thankful to you and for, you know, Diane and Jim and folks out there in Oklahoma who believe in me. It's been a real encouragement to me, so I can't thank you enough and just say, hey, I love you and appreciate this.
Oh, I'm thankful to have you on, and I'm really, you really have my attention. I'm sure you have a lot of people's attention that are listening. I mean, you know, we've certainly identified some problems. What do we do? I mean, even in the churches, I mean, so many pastors today, and I'm not speaking negatively about this, but they will have video happenings attached to their sermons. You know, I know some pastors say, would you take your cell phone out and would you do this message or would you send this this text. And so it's even, you know, it's even in our, in many of our churches. And so what, I mean, what do we do, and what do parents do that are listening, saying, you know, my kids, they're doing video games. We're all participating in the screens. And what do we do, Brad? Give us a solution.
Well, the Apostle Paul wrote in the scripture, he said, look, all things are permissible for me, but not all things are beneficial. And then in the latter part of that verse, he goes on to draw a line in the sand to help give you guidance of where not to go. He says, again, all things are permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by it, mm-hmm. controlled by it, or addicted to it. Mm-hmm. You know, the last thing I want to do is take us down a legalistic trip.
Yeah.
If there is something good that can come out of this, we need to use it. But we are called disciples, which means we're supposed to be disciplined people.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the ways that I handle this situation where the churches are encouraging it, my wife, Beth, will take a camera and videotape people in the back while I'm preaching in big churches, small churches, and middle-sized churches. And in every church that the phones have been encouraged, she has video footage in many of these places of people playing video games, doing social media. Now, they look like they're on their Bible apps.
Uh-huh.
But they're switching, doing their emails and social media and so forth. And Beth has video footage of this. And I will show that.
Uh-huh.
And I'll say, you know, this device can be helpful. But I think we can agree when a large portion of these congregations or churches, they have this problem where they are switch tasking. If, if they are looking at that screen, they are missing, from a brain point of view, they are missing what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we do is we start to generate some talk about it, some discussion about it, and avoid legalism, but at the same time, let's not let the pendulum go so far on the grace side where anything goes that we're afraid to talk about it, because there is a place for holiness where we're separated out from the world. We don't have to do everything. So I preach a message of holiness. I bring up the verses about being, you know, mastered or addicted to things, and I allow the conviction. I'll just be honest with you. I allow conviction, not condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
But conviction to take a hold. And as far as that condemnation goes, I tell them, you know, you come under Christ, you're not condemned. But you have to just expose these things for what they are and not, look, if I just may be blunt, we have just coddled and watered things down so much in this country. I mean,
yeah.
Pastor, I had one pastor one day say to me, how are you going to word things? And you know what that is. That's politically correct code for be very careful and choose your words not to offend. And so we have to resist political correctness like the plague. It's demonic. It's evil. And so that's the other thing I would say. With love, say it. I mean, say it.
Mm-hmm.
And be very truthful. There's only one thing at the end of the day that still frees a human being, and it's the truth. And, of course, the scripture tells us to tell it in love, and so we definitely have to do that. And so anyone who wants to repent is more than welcome. They have a safe place to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So then I offer help. At the end of the day, I work with another ministry, a friend of mine who is on staff at Liberty University here in Virginia. He runs Proven Men's Ministry, and they just hired the Barna Research Group to update the porn statistics. And those between the ages of now 18 and 34, 77% of those who responded to Barna's latest poll acknowledged and admitted to looking at porn regularly. We also see other statistics that 50% of our American pastors are dealing with pornography problems of their own. And so I talk about it openly, and we've seen a dramatic rise in females. Almost 60% now the females are struggling with pornography.
Wow.
And so I talk about it just bluntly, and then I actually read from Jesus where he said, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, for it would be better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And I'll let conviction take its place.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do? That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And then in some extreme cases, some people need counseling. They basically, I don't think everybody needs to be checked into a clinic. I just think we need accountability. We need somebody to hold our feet to the fire and walk alongside of us, put their arm around us when we get in trouble. And it needs to be from someone who's not struggling, someone who's gained victory over these things.
Mm-hmm.
And let the Word of God, you know, have its place in our heart again. Not just cherry-picked verses, but all of them. The full counsel of God. And so I present that in my books, And then, as I say, in extreme cases, there are kids who have gone so far under where they've become very violent because of video games and the anger where the parents, they've threatened their parents, they've torn up furniture and all that sort of stuff. Some of those kids, for a season, may need to be medicated or delivered. You know, so many, depending on where you are, not a lot of people believe in deliverance. I happen to believe
I believe in deliverance.
Yeah, I know you do, but a lot of people don't.
Right.
So it just depends on how far I can take them, because I go into all different denominations. But man, I'll tell you, I'll preach that when I can.
I understand.
Because God delivers.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Sets the captive free. Well, we have a problem in America, and I've been on for 14 months now here, 24 hours a day. This broadcast is played, but never talked to anybody about. No one's ever said anything to me about these type of addictions. And what do you say, Brad, to parents that say, "Hey, I know my kid has a problem." What do you say to them if they a porn addiction, or they may not recognize that, but they certainly do recognize a social media addiction, a cell phone addiction, a video game addiction. They recognize that. What do they do? Where's the starting point?
Well, the first thing that I ask, usually it's the females who will come to me, the moms will come to me, and I will say, "Are you married? And if so, where's the husband on this?" Because there has to be agreement in the home. And in so many cases where there's divorce, which is now 51%, kids get bounced back and forth, and the mom wants to put the rules in place, the dad doesn't. Mm-hmm. That's how it typically works. Sometimes it's the other way around, but most often it's the mom who wants it.
Mm-hmm.
So we start there. But then the second thing I deal with, parents fear their children now in ways that I have never seen, ever. They fear their children. They fear that the government, they can't spank them, even though that's in the scripture. I mean, when I was in Oklahoma, I mentioned spanking. The audience looked horrified. I said, "It's in the Bible," and someone in the audience said, "It is."
Wow.
It's that sort of thing. Uh-huh. And so, you know, foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod will drive it from them.
Right.
And that sort of thing. But anyway, we talk about killing the head of the snake, cutting the head of the snake off. Mm-hmm. You cannot say, parents will say to me, "Well, I'll just back my child off to an hour of video game playing a day." And I will say, "So you want to give your little child a half a line of cocaine? Because that's chemically what you're doing to them." And they mean well. They'll say, "Back off." I will say, at the end of the day, you have got to stop the drug. If you want the problem to go away, you have to stop the drug.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you cannot do this alone. You need to get some other people from around the church to pray over you, to be with you, to support you when all darkness breaks loose in your home because of doing this. Because the moment you take the device away, I warn them, the anger is going to explode. Your home is going to be in total and utter chaos.
Wow.
Not every home, but for the most part, this is what addiction does.
Mm-hmm.
You think of it the same way as suddenly cutting off alcohol or cocaine to someone.
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to react?
Mm-hmm.
How much worse is it going to be in an underdeveloped brain? So you need support. You've got to call the pastor. You've got to call the ladies of the church. You've got to call whoever you need to.
Yeah.
Sit down with them and say, "Look, I'm getting ready to cut the head of a snake off in my home, and things are going to be really bad, and I'm going to need some support here." And that's what the body of Christ is for.
Uh-huh.
That takes humility. That takes asking for help. That takes, you know, admitting you've got a problem.
Yeah.
And so just getting people over the hump to say, "Hey, for what it's worth, this is epidemic. We all act like it's not happening, but most of us are dealing with this in our homes."
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I say, number one, you have to get rid of the technology out of the bedrooms. And I get the most glazed over look and the fear that comes over parents who just will not do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say the vast majority of the porn, social media, video gaming takes place at night while you're in bed. If they have an internet-connected device in that bedroom, there's about a 100%, I have no research for this, by the way, but based on my global experience of several years of doing this, there's about a 100% chance that if you have a teenage boy, they're looking at porn every night, and there's 60% of the girls are doing it. So you've got to get rid of the technology out of the bedroom, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I also tell them, it is okay if your child has a flip phone instead of a smartphone or a dumb phone,
mm-hmm.
it is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been sitting there in the presence of police when I've worked with them, and I'll look at the police officer. I did this out in Kansas City, and the police, I was working with them, and the big audience was out there, and I said to them, listen, I want to ask the police, if any parent in here decides to take a smartphone away from their kid, would you go and arrest them? And the cops did it, and he goes, no, I would thank them and congratulate. And so, you know, we have to cut the head of the snake off at the
mm-hmm.
end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be a tyrant. And you cannot, the other thing I would say, when you take devices away from your child, you absolutely cannot leave a vacuum there. They have a terrible addiction,
uh-huh.
and you have to view it as an addiction.
Uh-huh.
And I tell them this story. I was in South Africa, and I was speaking to a group, and I was saying, look, yeah, you got to cut the head of the snake off. You got to take these things away, but you have to do things with your child. Take them to the amusement park. Take them hunting. Take them fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Get them out shooting the guns. Do anything, but
mm-hmm.
don't just leave a void there.
Yeah.
And so this guy went home, took a tablet away from his 13, 14-year-old boy, and the 13, 14-year-old boy said, if you take this away from me, I'll kill myself. And the dad didn't believe him, mm-hmm. and the domestic servant went in after he'd taken the tablet and found the boy hanging.
Mm-hmm.
And she cut him down, the domestic servant did, and he survived, thank the Lord, but he has a scar around his neck to this day. And so you're talking about real chemical addiction, and at some level, it may not be that's an extreme case, I'll
uh-huh.
admit that,
uh-huh.
but at some level, you're going to have a reaction that way. So you have to be prepared, you have to be tough for that, and you have to exercise humility and ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is, just like anything else, the longer you're away from the poison, the more your body will heal. These things will settle down. These things will come right. And if it's prayed over, if those verses, passages of Scripture are healing or prayed over those children or even adults, over time, those chemicals will settle down. But just like an alcoholic, some who have to go to AA, some people are going to have a vulnerability there that's going to be very much heightened and increased.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so extra measures are going to have to be put in place to avoid temptations of video games and porn and all these sort of things. So you think of it as an addiction. So that's what you tell them. There's no simple solution. And listen to this very carefully. I would say this to your audience. If filtering software were the answer, I would not be speaking to you right now. So many people want me to lecture them and give them all the filtering software. It does not work. If it worked, I wouldn't be on here speaking to you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be going around the world. I wouldn't be going to all these places. It helps. The police call it a roadblock.
Uh-huh.
You can get around roadblocks pretty easily. So
kids
are pretty clever. So don't count on just filtering software. It is not the answer. Cutting the poison off is the answer.
Wow. Oh, well, I know that you have enlightened us on some very important things. It's really touched my heart because I have this love for young people. I have a ministry group called Young Preachers International, and you know, my heart for youth, and I just know that parents are fighting a lot of battles. I'd really like to have you. I know you got a very busy schedule, Brad, but I'd really love to have you back on, have you live, so we could take some phone calls from some parents. Would that be a possibility?
Oh yeah, yes, absolutely, Dale. I'd be honored to do that.
Okay.
We just, of course, need to schedule it.
Okay.
I will be traveling some, but even when I'm out of the country, Dale, I have Skype as well. I have plenty of equipment. I can easily Skype in to do anything. I'll serve you in any way you need me to. We just have to schedule it.
Well, I'm so delighted. And you know, I'm limited to 1 hour increments here, so time's going to run out. I know we've gone into extra innings, but I'm just overwhelmed at what you're saying. But I know it's true. I bear witness to it, and I just know that God desires to set the captive free. And this is a serious attack upon the youth of our nation, upon the young people in particular. I guess all of us are subject to this attack. So I've made a promise to those people that pray with me, those who listen, that we'll not talk about anything that we can't pray about. I'd like for you to pray right now for the things we've talked about, however the Holy Spirit leads you, Brad. And I'm going to play some prayer music, and then you can pray.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
Lord, I just want to thank you again for another opportunity, Lord, to speak. Thank you for Dr. Gentry, Lord, and his generosity for all this airtime. And, Lord, the call on his life and allowing me on his platform. I take it very seriously, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the audience here. Well, I know that you're working in some hearts here, and some are actually finding a breath of fresh air because they finally found somebody that can relate to them. But, Lord, really it's you that relates to them. Lord, I'm praying that the anointing that breaks the yoke will settle in upon this audience. Lord, I'm seeing moms right now who are just in tears because of their child that they have lost to gaming and the anger that's come out and the fear toward their children, their child. I'm praying right now, Jesus, that you'll remind them that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but one of love and of a sound mind. Lord, give answers to our audience today. The answers that we've given are great. Let them take those to heart. But, Lord, things are a bit more complicated sometimes than just answers out of a book. And so, Lord, these answers coupled with the wisdom of God is what I'm asking. The anointing of God, the leading of God. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, would you please settle in on these precious, precious audience.
Yes, Lord.
Would you be so real to them and draw them into your presence, into those deep places where they really find the answers of what they're looking for. Father, let deliverance come from addictions to dopamine and to adrenaline and epinephrine and norepinephrine and all these things we've talked about.
Yes.
But Lord, be the Prince of Peace. Be the Deliverer. Be the Lion of the tribe of Judah against the powers of darkness, we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, for those that are backslidden, those that are listening to us who have fallen into horrible, horrible bondages of pornography. They never meant to. They never lost their awareness of you, but they find themselves in horrible bondage today.
Yeah.
Set the captive free.
Yeah.
Give them, Lord God, hope right now in this moment to know there are people out here that love them, and that's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
Mainly because you love them, Lord. Let them know today you've got them in the palm of your hand. But give them the humility to just pick up that phone and call their pastor, somebody they trust, and confess it.
Yes.
And just bring it into the light so it loses the darkness loses its power. God, touch them and give them the grace
Lord.
To do that.
Yes,
bless
Lord.
This radio show as they, God, continue to seek you and for renewal and revival. Lord, I join with that. That's what we're about. And
yes.
We so desperately need a move of you.
Yes,
would you
do.
Please come and visit our land again, God?
Yes, Lord.
Would you please breathe on this country again
yes.
and restore us, God?
Yes.
Would you please, Lord God, this niche that you've given me of this particular bondage, Lord, all the other bondages that are out there, would you please tear down the walls of darkness?
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we love you. We bless you. I bless this new friend that you've given me, Dr. Gentry, and his show. Lord, I just ask that you make provision for them and all that they need financially. Otherwise, Father, and protect
him.
God, I'm asking you to protect him and his family
in
the powers of darkness.
Yes.
I plead your blood over him.
Yes.
Pray up my shield of faith with him, with which we extinguish every fiery dart of the wicked one.
Yeah.
And it's in Jesus' mighty name that we ask all of these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Brad Huddleston. For being on today, I'm so very thankful, grateful. You've certainly opened up a new arena for me to pray about and to speak to. And I just know that it's a God thing. And I'm so thankful that you have this ministry. And I just speak a blessing upon you and all that the Holy Spirit directs you to do. And I just know that God is going to open some doors. And you know, I'm just prophesying today because God's given me a prophetic anointing that God is going to give you digital rehab centers all across America. And so many people are going to be set free and churches are going to have individual chapters. I just know you're on something that's really, really big. And I just declare that God is at work. And I'm so thankful that I get to be a part of it. Thank you for being on today. And I just encourage everybody just to go to bradhuddleston.com. and get his materials. And I look forward to having you back soon. Thank you for being on today on BPN.
Listen, it's been a real honor. And as I said before, Dale, I will serve you and God in any way you ask me to. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
You too. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax-deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.